All right. We're going to go ahead and get started. Man, you got quiet quick. Dang, I have that voice, don't I? Okay. Just a few announcements. There's not really any. Welcome to the party. Hey. Come on, girl. Just a reminder, we have... Did you buy one? Can you hold yours up? Do you have it with you? Can you hold it up? Oh. We have our Bible study tools on sale for $5. Just a reminder, they're over here, and you can pay me. I will gladly take your money. Who did the memory verse? Who knows the memory verse? Come on.
It's Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God. So hold on. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jews, then to the Gentiles.
Nice. Good job. Here you go. You're welcome. Yeah, she wants you to soap that really quick. So how did everyone do on your homework? How was it for you guys?
Rough.
Rough? Why?
Well, I passed it today.
How?
For the first time ever.
In your life? Good job. So proud of you. Seriously. That's awesome. Sometimes it happens. And how'd it go?
I'm really hungry.
You fasted all day? That's amazing. Good for you. So proud of you. Yes. How'd it go for you, Carrie? Was it your first time?
Okay.
I wasn't going to say that. Thank you. Did anyone else fast? That's amazing. Yeah. I have a hard time fasting food right now because I want to eat everything in sight and I'm nauseous all the time. Yeah. So I did secular music. I only listened to Christian music this week. So it was supposed to be whatever the Lord laid on your heart, Michelle. How did your guys' soaping go this week? How was your reading? Did anything stick out to you? Or what stuck out to you? Yeah, go ahead, Max. Amazing. That's awesome. Yeah. Who else? Mark, what were you saying? No pressure. I don't want to put you on the spot. I thought you were saying something.
Saying ask whatever you wish will be done for you. That doesn't mean they have what I want, a million.
so true. I mean, how many people in the Bible waited years for their prayers to come to pass? When you want him to, or the way you want him to.
Right. Teresa made reference to when our son passed away. You know, when my brother died. And she wanted and asked God to bring him back. And he didn't. Mm-hmm. Not the way we thought.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And she finally came to grips with the fact that the prayer was answered just wasn't the way we thought.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't answer the way we see it on the side of eternity.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, some of it was strange, to be honest.
Yeah. And how many times does God tell us things over and over and over again until we're like, no, I don't think I heard him right. Let me pray about it some more. When he's like, no, I've instructed you already what you need to do. So we're no different than them. Be encouraged. You're not alone. Anyone else? That's actually one of my weekly prayers is, Lord, cut the branches from me that are not of you and prune the ones that are. Like, we don't want to be sprouting 1,500 different branches and only three of them be actually spirit-bearing fruit, you know? So, and I love what it says in John 15 about, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you may go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. And how many times do we ride a God high because something happened, it makes us feel good, and we ride this high, and then it kind of fades off, and then we kind of slump back into our funk. But God is saying, I want to bring you fruit that will last. I want your seasons to be fruitful and to multiply and for you to stay in them and not just stay where you're at, but just grow and continue to build upon that. Like, God wants to do so much in your life. We have to be willing to receive it. We have to be willing to be pruned and to be cut off, and it hurts sometimes, and it's not fun. Yes, it's a pain. Can you imagine having a limb cut off? It is a painful process, I'm sure. So it's the same thing as when you're feeling like, gosh, I have been seeking you, and I have been praying and fasting. Just remember that the Lord prunes us, and sometimes that doesn't feel good. Just like iron sharpens iron doesn't always feel so great. Amen? Yeah. It sure does. Yeah. All right. Well, before we jump into the message, Pastor Matt wants to speak with you guys for just a minute. Woo!
You don't have to clap. I'm just kidding. Hey, for those of you who haven't met me, I know if you guys have kids, you've probably met me a few times. I even see some of the people that work with us in KidWorks over here. I know some of you guys work safety and even some of our teachers. Before anything, my name is Pastor Matt, and with my wife and with Ellie Courtney back there, we are the team that serves your kids on Sunday morning and Wednesday nights and all throughout the week and year. And I just wanted to come in here tonight because I wanted to share with you guys something that is very close to my heart and something I care a whole lot about, and that is discipleship. Our whole KidWorks team believes in discipleship, believes in the power of it, believes in the necessity of it for our families, for you, and for our kids. And so the other day, we actually were talking with our team, and I was sharing part of what we're passionate about, this discipleship process. And I love the things I hear that are coming out of GrowTrack. I hear things from my leaders. I hear things from friends. And I love what you guys are experiencing. I think our church is so better for it, for you guys knowing who God is and knowing what he's using you for. And so it really hit me that I wanted to see my leaders, all of my leaders, have the opportunity to experience the same kind of growth, the same kind of study that you guys are through these GrowTracks, through Grow 1, through GrowTrack 2, and GrowTrack 3. And so talking with the team and talking with Pastor Talia, we came up with a unique idea that I'm really excited about, and I wanted to share that with you guys today. Right now, the way it kind of functions is on Sundays and on Wednesdays, especially Wednesdays right now, we're asking a whole lot of a few people. I've got a couple leaders over there right now who love the kids, and who are passionate about them and want to stay over there with them. They've gone through much of this process that you're going through now, and so they're over there doing a whole lot. And I realize that some of those leaders who are there are going to stay there, but not all of my leaders have had the opportunity to enjoy this, and I want to provide that. I want to allow all of my leaders who want to come through this to come through this. And so what we decided is instead of asking a whole lot of a few people, we want to ask a little bit of a lot of people. And what that looks like is this. Let me tell you what I'm not asking you. What I'm not coming in here and saying is, hey, will you come and study a notebook every week and come in and teach a class and wrangle a room of 20 kids? I'm not asking any of that at all. What I am asking is, would you be, it's pretty simple. I know you're like, oh, good, a little nervous. What I am asking is, would you be willing to give one Wednesday night, one Sunday, help us develop a substitute list? Would you be willing to give 1 week throughout the semester, just one, to help other leaders come here and enjoy this as well? The idea being that I won't call on you more than once. We call on you to come and sub one time, and I've worked it out with your leaders. I know you guys have, you can miss twice, and they've actually said that this would not count against one of your absences, so you get 3 misses. You're welcome. but what we want to do is say, well, a lot of you give a little bit of time so even more people can enjoy GrowTrack. That's really what the vision is we want to partner with you guys, not work against you, not work even sideways. We want to partner with you so that the maximum number of people can benefit from this. Because here's what I see. If people benefit from this, it's returned on our kids. Our kids are benefited by you knowing God's word better, by my leaders knowing God's word better. And so that's what we want, is we want bodies in a room. I've got a few teachers who said, we will be the ones to give a lot. They've gone through this, they're trained, they're going to teach, but they just need bodies in a room, people who want to love on kids, spend time with kids. And so at your tables tonight, there's sheets like this right here, and if you are willing to say, I just want to be part of that substitute list. We're not going to call on you all the time. It is not signing your life away. We want to call on you once over the semester on a Wednesday, and then see if you help us develop a sub list for Sundays. And just put your name and your number if you'd be willing to give a little bit of time so a lot more people can enjoy what you guys are enjoying. And that's simply it. That's our vision, and that's what we want to see happen. So I'll turn it back over. I'll get out of your guys' way. If you have any questions, they can field them, or I'm sure they can get the questions to me. So cool. Thank you.
Yeah. All right. And without further ado, I'm going to pass this over to Courtney, who's going to get us started tonight. What's up, guys? GrowTrack 2, week 4. You guys are on fire tonight. Oh my goodness. Like, the energy in the room, you guys talking about things that you guys are learning so far, and I'm just so excited because this is just the beginning. And I'm not going to go on about GrowTrack 2 because we have a teaching to do tonight, but I love GrowTrack 2. It's such a special time, such a special season. I got to be a part of it last semester and watch the previous group go through it, and just the teachings, the content, I just love it, and it's so exciting to see all of you guys on this journey. So just for like a minute or less, I would love to hear just from a couple of you in 2 words, maybe even 1 word, are some things that have stood out to you so far in the first couple of weeks of GrowTrack 2? Consistency, that's a good one.
Depth. Awesome. What was that? Prayer. I love that. I love that first teaching. What else? Anybody else? You guys got all your talking out at the beginning. You're going to have to talk some more tonight. Consistency, depth, prayer. I love those. And we're going to go even deeper as you guys go throughout the semester. I'm so excited to get to be with you guys this week. We're going to talk about how to know and understand the voice of God. And so you guys have been through a process so far. You've learned about prayer. You've learned about how to deeply dive into God's word. Last week, you guys talked about fasting. So you guys are all fasted up and ready to hear what God has to say to you tonight. So that's exciting. So we're just going to dive right in on how do we learn to know and understand God's voice. See, most of us are pretty familiar with praying, and if you weren't before Grow 2, you heard the whole teaching in week 1 and learned a lot about prayer. We know and understand that it's important to talk to God and to spend time with Him, that we need to have a consistent time that we're worshiping Him and spending time with Him, and developing a relationship with Him. We've heard all of this, and we know that, and we're like, okay, like I've got you, I'm with you, I'm there. The fact is, what I want to make sure that you guys know and understand is that when we pray and when we worship and when we develop that relationship, when we read God's word, we're spending time with a real personal God who loves us and longs to be close to us. He longs to draw close to us. Speaking of drawing close to us, drawing close to people, I'd love to ask Megan to hop up here real quick. Megan's pretty awesome, right? Megan and I have known each other for, we've known each other for a couple of years, but you know, I was just thinking of how much I would love to get to know you a little bit better. And so, Megan, I just want to, let's start off something pretty simple. Can you tell me a little bit just about your family and about your marriage? Like, just help me get to know you a little bit better.
Okay. We've been married for 4 years.
You know, I just love marriage. It's just so beautiful, isn't it? I'm married. I have a wonderful husband. You have a wonderful husband. He looks like a great guy. And you've got kids and a family. I don't have kids yet, but one day we will. You know, family's just so great. And, like, God just does things in your family, you know? Like, He moves in your marriage. He wants to draw you closer to each other. And I just believe that a family that's really founded on God's word is just like a really good, strong family. You know, I feel so passionate about that. You know, I was wondering, what do you do? What's your job? What kind of things are you doing in your job?
I work at the car dealership here in Lufkin, and I am the controller.
Man, like, doing a job is like such hard work, but you know, I feel like when you really put yourself, when you give yourself to it, like, God just does so much, and He teaches you things. Like, I've been doing my job for about 4 years, and I feel like I'm really understanding it and really getting good at some things, some parts. The first couple of years were kind of rough. I was trying to figure it out. So, you know, but it's just really cool when you, like, feel good about your career and where you're going. And, you know, Megan, let me tell you what I really want to know. So that I can really get to know you, I feel like I need to know, what are, like, the dreams that God's placed in your heart? What are the things that you feel like He wants to do in your life?
I feel like the biggest dream that God placed in my heart.
It is so exciting when God places a dream in your heart. Let me just tell you, Megan, like, when God puts a dream in your heart, He is just like, it's just so exciting, and He's just like going after you, and you just have to run after it with everything that you have. And when you do, like, He's just so faithful, isn't He? I mean, He is just so, oh my gosh, look at the time. I've got to run, Megan. We'll catch up later, though, right? Good talk. Somebody tell me, on a scale of 1 to 5, 5 being amazing and 1 being completely terrible, please tell me the quality of my conversation with Megan.
1.
You guys are giving me a 1? But I asked her such good questions. Did you hear those questions that I asked her? Those were good questions. And I told her some really good things that were just really encouraging. And you guys are giving me like a 1 on that conversation? Why? I didn't get to know her. I wasn't listening. I said at the very beginning, Megan, I want to get to know you better, and I spent the whole time talking at her and talking about myself. And you guys all know where this is going, hopefully. So the problem is that we don't fail to let God know the things that we want, the things that are on our heart, our desires. A lot of times we tell Him all about them. We tell Him all about our problems, and we throw out all of our questions, but we fail to remember that prayer is a two-way conversation. And a conversation involves both people talking and both people listening. And not listening like, what am I going to say next, rolling in your head, but truly listening and hearing the other person. It's vital for conversation, so why do we think that it's not the same in our relationship with God? So we've got to practice the other side of prayer. We've got our side pretty good. We're pretty good at saying it. We're pretty good at asking the questions. But we've got to learn to listen to the other side. We've got to hear what God wants to say. So a lot of believers know how to pray, but they don't know not just how to listen, but how to really recognize God's voice, how to hear him and understand what he's saying. So how? How do we listen to God's voice? How do we know if what or who we're hearing is actually God? How do we know that it's not just me or not someone else? How do I know that it's God and not the enemy? How do I know? How do I understand? This is what we're going to dive into tonight. But the first thing, the first question that we need to make sure that we're all on the same page about is, does God really talk to us today? And hopefully you guys can fill in that blank on your own, because otherwise there wouldn't be a whole teaching about it. The answer is yes. Yes, God speaks to us today. John 10:27 says, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. Jeremiah 33:3, I love this verse. It says, call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things, fenced in and hidden, which you do not know, do not distinguish and recognize, have knowledge of and understand. So yes, God speaks. But so if God does speak, why don't more Christians hear from God? It's not just about the listening issue. Let's explore some of the reasons, some of the things that keep Christians from hearing God. Number one, many Christians don't actually talk to God as much as they think they do. Instead, they're quick to talk to others about him and about their problems. Therefore, no message is ever sent to God on their behalf. And so sometimes we can fall into the trap of thinking that because we went and talked to a leader and we went and talked to a person in our group, or we went and talked to a pastor who may have even said, I feel like God might be saying, we think that we have talked to God. We think that we have met that need in our lives, when actually we've never actually gone to him and said, God, I need to know what you have to say. Number two, others are great at talking to God about all kinds of things, especially their problems. However, they don't ever stop to listen to what he may have to say in response to their requests and complaints. Just like my conversation with Megan, I said I wanted to get to know her, but I did not even take a moment to listen to what she had to say. And number three, then there are some who talk to God all the time and even try to listen to his voice. However, they incorrectly interpret what he is saying, which gets them into some potential problems and sticky situations. So incorrect interpretation can be a trap as well. Now, don't let that scare you, because tonight we're going to talk about how we can make sure that we're really understanding and correctly interpreting what God is saying. Before we dive into this next part, I just want to take a moment. We just went pretty quickly over three things that can keep us from hearing the voice of God. And I want to give you just a few seconds. Maybe as we were going over those, maybe one jumped out at you and you realized that's a pattern that's existed in my life. I want you to identify that. I want you to circle that, or you can even write it real small at the bottom of your page. Just take a moment. If one of those has been a pattern in your life, write that down. So now as we move on, we've got that one in our mind. We've identified that one, that's been a pattern for me. I don't want any person in this room to get caught up in feeling bad or feeling guilty because I've made the mistake of running to people and I've never really run to God. Or I have messed up and I've thought that something was the voice of God and then I got it all wrong. We're not going to feel bad about that. What we're going to do is we're going to learn together how to prevent that and break that pattern in our lives, okay? So let's agree together. We've all identified them. I even have one that I've known that has been a pattern in my life before, and I want to make sure that I keep that from becoming a pattern ever again. And so let's learn and grow together. So what we're going to find out, what we're going to start with tonight, is how God speaks to us. Joyce Meyer says, God declares that he speaks, and when he does, he speaks in righteousness. We can always depend on what he says to be right. So we're going to discover how God speaks, and we're going to know in the midst of this that we can always depend that God's voice is right. His voice is righteousness. So tonight, you guys actually get to do a little bit of teaching the class. What we're going to do is we're going to assign each of these tables 2 points from this very next section. You'll see a group work, and then you'll see a section that says, God speaks to us through ... So I'm going to assign each of you guys some of those points. And what you're going to do is you're going to read the passage that says group study, and you're going to try to fill in that blank that you see there in your notes. And then you're going to answer these questions that you see about it. And so when you answer those questions, you'll see it says strive to keep it to 1 to 2 sentences, maybe even less. We want to get our answers really concise, really driving home on those points. Then we're going to discuss it. You guys are going to get to teach the class together. as we go through this next section. So let's start with this table here at the back. You guys are going to do point one and two. One and two. This table right here, you guys are going to do three and four. Right here in the back, five and six. You guys will do seven and eight, and then we'll give you guys nine and 10. We'll have about 10 minutes. Get started. All right. If you didn't get to answer all the questions, that's okay. We can definitely go back to these in our homework time this week and continue studying those and answering those questions. So let's get started on God speaks to us through. Let's discover how God speaks.
All right. All right. Where's my table that had number one? Miss Bonnie. Are y'all ready? Okay. Let's break down. Okay. That sounded very, very confident. Ready or not, we're coming. It's happening. Yes. You were so excited about this one, too. So I figured you were just. So we could have stayed on number one then, right? Okay. So quickly, let's go into the questions over this. So 2 Kings 22 is what you were reading in this one. So whom was God speaking with in this passage? Who did God speak? There we go. Awesome. Okay. Next question. How did God speak to the individual or individuals in that? How did he speak to King Joseph?
Well, he spoke to the prophetess.
Okay.
Correct.
Yeah. Yes. So God's word. Yes. Perfect. So what was the response? Somebody at your table. Who else? I know how excited you were about it. Anybody? No. Everybody's got to participate tonight. What was the response? What was his response?
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. And he also called for the people. He called to the people for repentance as well. And I think that's so key as well. And it really highlights God's desire for not only us to come to know him and come to repentance and start following him, but he wants all people to do that. And so I think that's a cool point. Okay. And how does God use that specific method to speak to us today? Okay. Okay. And also our word. I mean, our daily devotional and what we've been talking about for the past 3 weeks, getting into God's word, using soap, analyzing his word, because his word is alive. And I was talking to my table about this. This word, this is not just some words formulated into sentences, formulated into paragraphs, and then printed on a book. It is living. This is a living thing. And if it's a living thing, then it stands to reason that it can speak to us in those times of need, or it can tell us the things that we need to know at any given moment in our lives. It can instruct us. It can help us to grow. It's living. It's something that we feed on. The Bible is something we feed on. So it's important that we treat it as such. So God is going to talk to us through his word. It was given for a reason. So it's important that we view it as that. So what can interfere with that? We've already talked about this, so y'all should all have that answer, right? What can interfere with this, reading the Bible? What can interfere with it?
Pride.
Correct. Pride, yeah. Misinterpretation, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. See, and that's going to be one of the biggest ones, life's distractions, because we talked about we can pick this up and we can have all the intention in the world to read this every single day, and then life happens. And then we choose other things other than going back to this or being intentional with our time in reading. But also we can actually read this and then we can formulate it to sound how we want it to sound. Because our minds are smart enough to manipulate themselves, but not smart enough to realize that they've been manipulated sometimes. So we can take this Bible and we can skew it to rationalize and justify the things that we're doing, and we can use the Bible. So we have to be very, very clear with what the Bible says, and that's why it's so important to use soap and use these techniques when we're reading this Bible, because this is how God speaks to us. So it stands to reason, if this is one of the key things that God uses to speak to us, we better get it right. And we need to be wise with how we read this. So I'm going to pass it to Courtney.
All right, we're going to do number two. I failed to mention as we dove in, as we go over each point, make sure that you're grabbing those blanks. If you miss it, just let us know. And then there's some lines there at the bottom so that if you didn't specifically study this passage, you can make some notes kind of as we're talking about it. So that's what those are for, just so that you guys know there's not like specific blanks. So let's jump into number two. Number two in the same table, you guys had that one. Who is God speaking to in number two? Moses. Awesome passage. Now, this one can be a little bit tricky. How is God speaking in this one? Anybody want to take a stab at that number two? We've got knowledge and understanding of a vision. So he did see God. So it was part of a vision. Yeah. Came down and spoke. Yeah. What were the things that God said? What were the things that God said? How God spoke? What are those attributes? That's a good word. What is that telling us about God? What is that showing us? Right, that's showing us God's character. So he's telling Moses about his character. Number two, knowledge and understanding of his character. What was Moses' response? Answer from scratch, off the top of your head. He bowed down and worshiped. He was so overwhelmed by just the magnitude of God's character, his richness, his mercy, his graciousness. Why do you think it was important that God was saying this to Moses? Why do you think God chose to reveal his character to Moses? Who is Moses? He was going to use him. And who did he lead? Who did he lead? Who are the Israelites? God's chosen people. So it's kind of might have been important for them to understand who this God is that they serve. Because if you know anything about the gods of the surrounding nations, they were completely the opposite of everything that God says about himself in this passage. So if you didn't have that one, I definitely encourage you to read it, read all of these. But one of the ways that God speaks to us is through a knowledge and understanding of his character. All right.
All right. This next one's my table, so we're going to have all these answers like 100%. It's going to be right. Y'all going to just lay them out, correct? All right. So number three, what you got, Chandler?
My number three.
Okay.
And one was to listen to the counsel of his wives, or his father's, you know, wise counsel. But he decided to listen to the counsel of those who were around his age that he grew up with, and they gave him horrible advice that he followed.
Yeah.
And ended up, forgot the last part. Somebody attacked him. He got killed.
So pretty bad. Yeah. and the two highlights that I want to make on that, yeah. Dying is not good in that way. That's a big one. But what led to that, or what followed that, was really bad, because it said that Israel was in rebellion from that day. So not only did his poor decision-making affect him, but who did it affect? It's everybody. So we think that we're a stone that gets thrown in the water and there's no ripple after that. There's only an initial splash and nothing happens after that. But that's not the truth. So our decisions have a ripple effect, and it did in this case. So he chose to not listen to the wise counsel, but yet listen to the yes men in his life. And what happened? You know, and it was a bad thing. And so how many times can we seek people? And I've done it in my own life. I just really need a word. And you go to a trusted friend, and they tell you exactly what you need to hear. But then you walk away, ooh, I didn't really want to hear that, so I'm going to go to somebody else. And then you go to people until you find the answer you want, not the answer you need, and then it gets you in more trouble. So we've got to be very careful. Sometimes it's just like the pruning that we talked about earlier. It's painful. but it's important in our lives. So we can't just have people tickling our ears all the time and expect us to be well-adjusted and okay. We have to listen to that wise counsel, and sometimes it's making a hard decision. So in that, 1 Kings 12 and 6 through 19, he was talking to who? Let's answer number one real quick. You got it, Chandler. That's right. Okay. And how did he speak to him? Correct. Through wise counsel. Correct. And or Christian leadership in our case. Christian leadership. Okay. And what was the response?
His response was go his own route.
Correct. Yeah. There you go. So how does God use this specific method to speak to us today?
By people around us. Mostly by the influence of the church.
Yeah. That's right. So there are a lot of voices out there today, and we can choose to listen to whichever those voices that are speaking things into our lives, and we can digest whatever we want, but not everything is really good. And so it's very important. There's a lot of voices today. It's so many voices. Our kids, so many voices out there. So many things right at their fingertips. So what can interfere with that? What can interfere with this way of God speaking to us? That's it. Yeah. Yeah. That's right. Pride, selfish desire. And then we also had 1 Samuel. And so we talked about King Rehoboam and how he did it wrong. And in this case, we have in 1 Samuel, Saul. And he has a servant that's with him. In this case, we talked about it and we joked about it. Saul actually did it right in this case. He was seeking the counsel of his servant about what to do, and he actually chose the right thing to go seek out Samuel in this. And so we had, in this case, listening to wise counsel or Christian leadership the right way and then the wrong way. And Saul did it the right way. He listened to his counsel and he followed. And so that was number three. We also had number four. What's number four? So he was speaking to the leaders. Perfect. And so how did he speak to them?
Through pressing and prayer, the Holy Spirit spoke to them. Let them know what he wanted to do.
And through the activities that were going on around them. In both of these cases that you read in Acts here, there was a lot of opposition, potential deadly opposition going on around them. And so there was a lot of activity that the Holy Spirit was leading them away from. And so because of that activity, the Holy Spirit steered them in a different direction and kept them safe and protected them. So through the activity and the things that are going on around us, God can speak to us and help us to avoid some of the dangers in life. And how many of y'all know we need that kind of voice. We need to be steered around obstacles from time to time. Opposition is not a bad thing, but sometimes there's just unnecessary turmoil that we go through in our lives because we're just not listening to the voice of God. So what was their response?
They obeyed.
Awesome. Yeah. And they didn't get stoned to death at that point. So they listened and they obeyed and they avoided that danger at the time. And so what can interfere with our ability to listen to God in that way through these circumstances, these things that are going on around us? What can interfere? Oh, come on, guys. You got this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's good. Well, and pride. Pride can be the number one thing. I've got this. How many of y'all said this? I got this. I can take on anything. And then we go on into a fight that we really don't need to go into at that moment when the Holy Spirit's telling us the whole time, hey, go around us. Go around this. Go around this. Or go this way. And we choose to just move our way straight forward into something that we didn't really need to get into. Yeah.
We get so focused on the fasting and the prayer that that becomes like the obsession or almost like a means to an end.
Yeah.
And you can focus on the wrong things and you can miss God inside of
it. And it goes back, and we talked about that last week. It's motives and heart condition. It's good.
All right. All right, who had number five? This table right back here. What did you guys read in Acts 15? Yeah, the voice of the very the voice of the Holy Spirit. So in Acts chapter 15, we have a council. They had gone to discuss some controversies that had come up in the new Christian faith between Jews and between Gentile Christians. And so they wrote a letter to the believers telling them, this is what we feel like the Holy Spirit has spoken to us. This is what we feel, and we're going to look for the peace of the Holy Spirit. The peace of the Holy Spirit. So there's a key verse there in verse 28 that says, it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us. It seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us. So we see that they experienced that peace of the Holy Spirit that directed them. What was their response? They were obedient, and they did exactly what they felt the Holy Spirit directing them to do, right? How can we use that method today? Yeah, listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit, allowing him. Anything else? Any other ways that we can use that today? Good. Very good. A lot less talking and a lot more listening and sensing the Holy Spirit's peace. Colossians 3:15 is such an awesome verse. I'm just going to read the first little piece there. Let the peace, the soul harmony, which comes from Christ, act as an umpire. You know, in baseball, that umpire, like, is going to call what, you know, whose ball it was, what was right, what was wrong. And that Holy Spirit is like an umpire in us, and he tells us this is right, this is wrong. He helps us to understand that. When we feel the peace of the Holy Spirit, that's God speaking to us. Okay. I'll take how you guys, what is number six? Tell me about Genesis 47. Okay. All right. In Genesis 47, we have a story of the famine that came to Egypt. So how many of you have heard the story of Joseph? He goes to Egypt, and Pharaoh gets a dream that there's going to be of these cows and these stalks of wheat. Joseph interprets it. Basically, there's going to be 7 years of abundance immediately followed by 7 years of famine. And what does Joseph do? He makes a plan to store it up. Joseph uses wisdom. Number six is wisdom. So Joseph uses wisdom to enable the people in Egypt and even the surrounding areas to survive these 7 years of famine. And something that I noted when I was looking at those verses today is verse 27 says that the people of Israel who had come to Egypt, Jacob and his family, flourished. In the midst of a time of famine, the people of Israel flourished because of the wisdom that God gave Joseph. So it's so important to use wisdom in our lives. Wisdom helps us avoid stupid pain, guys. There are things in our lives that people go through. There are things that are attacks. There are things that are consequences of sin. And sometimes there is stupid pain that we would not have to go through if we would just listen to the wisdom of God. It's completely unnecessary in our lives. So use wisdom. God doesn't want to see you go through those things that are unnecessary. And so, wisdom. So, yeah. Yep, that's good. Good. Wisdom, number seven.
All right, my table here. Y'all at number seven?
Yes.
Y'all ready? All right. So, so who was God speaking to in this passage in number seven? Acts 12, 5 through 17. Who was God speaking to? That's right. He was speaking to Peter. How did God speak to Peter? Okay. So, in that, what was going on in that story?
Mm-hmm.
Correct. So, he was in a predicament, in a problem that our natural minds couldn't really wrap our heads around. Like, there would be no way that we would feel like that we could get out of that kind of situation. I mean, I think the scripture states that he had two guys. He had one next to him on his right, one next to him on his left, and then he had some guards standing outside. I mean, this guy was covered wall to wall, and he was in prison. So it's not like, you know, he had a guy that was talking to him and just, hey, don't go away. I mean, this guy was covered up. So he was in a situation that there was almost no natural way to get out of. So he had to rely on a supernatural event or move of God to help him in this situation. So correct. Yeah, he stayed in almost like a state of shock or a trance throughout this whole event. And so God had to intervene on his behalf supernaturally. So there had to be a supernatural intervention. And so God spoke to him, Peter, in this way, and he didn't really even understand it fully until he came out on the other side and he was free. Come on, guys. How many of y'all have been in a situation that you feel like there's just no way to get out of? No way to get out of. And then God moves on your behalf, and there's a supernatural intervention in your life, and you don't really fully understand it because it's not for us to understand. We can't understand those types of moves of God fully, but he moves on our behalf. But when we get on the other side, we know it's God. And Peter stood on the other side of that gate, and he knew that it was God. And so that's such a cool story. So what was his response after that? I love it. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah. Yeah, he's standing on the other side of this door. He's like just knocking, like, please let me in. I just got out of prison. I escaped. They're probably after me. And she wouldn't even let him in. She was so shocked by this fact because they were literally praying for him at that moment. And then he's standing outside of the door like, hey, I'm here. Let me in. And so not only was his faith built up, but everybody in that house, their faith was built up by this supernatural intervention. So sometimes the things that you come out of, that God brings you out of, it's not just so you can hear his voice and be strengthened by it. It's so others can hear his voice or see God moving and hear from God on their behalf and your behalf both. It's awesome. So how does God use a specific method today? Do you believe that God is the same today as he was back then? Okay. Yeah. That's right. That's an awesome point. Yeah. I think that's a great point because sometimes we do. We sit and we pray for something, and it might be so hard to even fathom that it could come true. And then it does. And then we don't even believe it. We're like, that couldn't have been God. You know, and that's such a good point. That's such a good point. So what can interfere with that, though? This one should be easy. What? Yeah. Correct. Yeah. Sergio said the one key word is faith, you know, because we have to believe. What is faith? It's believing in the unseen. So it's hard for us, our natural thinking minds, to wrap our heads around an angel coming in and just removing Peter from this prison, this cell, carrying him in a trance outside of the city and then letting him walk and just knock on a door to some people who are praying. That's hard to wrap your head around sometimes. And we read so many stories in the Bible, but they're true stories. These are things that God did, and these are supernatural interventions on these guys' behalf. So it's so cool.
All right. All right, number eight. What did you guys, what's that story in number eight? Yeah. So God was speaking to Joseph. He spoke through a dream. You guys got that? What was their response to what he said? What was Joseph's response to what God said?
He shared his dream.
Yeah. So with dreams, we can kind of be like, was this dream God, or was this like something that I ate last night? So in this story, how do we know that the dream was actually from God?
Because
it came true, it happened, right? We saw that actually happen. So we know that he was actually hearing from God. So what we want to say about dreams and God speaking to us in dreams today is that sometimes we may have a dream and we may wonder, is this something that God's, I feel like there's something happening. Was this God? A great litmus test for a dream and knowing whether it's from God is to test the fruit. test the fruit. And so if a dream is filled with fruit of like the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, if we sense God speaking us something and it has those types of characteristics, it might be something that God is actually speaking to us. But if a dream that we have is filling us with fear and anxiety and anger or confusion or worry, it's probably not a dream from God, if it's stirring up bad fruit in us. So that's something to be aware of with dreams. So with these last two, what I would love to do, if this is okay with you guys, is assign all of you guys numbers 9 and 10 to add to your homework this week. We have just a few minutes. We want to get through our last section of some important things for you guys to know about what to do after you hear from God. But we would love for you guys to do some digging on your own this week. Try to fill in number 9 and 10 and answer those questions in your homework. So let's do 9 and 10, and we'll come back next week and talk about those a little bit in our homework section. Good? All right. So what's so important to remember in all of these ways that we've talked about how God speaks, how many of you heard something tonight? Maybe you had not thought about that being a way that God speaks before. Anybody? Any something new or maybe something you heard in a new way tonight? So there's so many ways that God speaks to us, and these are just 10 specific things that we see in Scripture. But it's so important for us to remember that when God speaks, what he says will never contradict or disagree with his written word, the Bible, that first one that we talked about. And so if we are ever hearing something that contradicts the word of God, we either are not hearing God or we're not correctly interpreting what God is saying. So it's so important for us to know and understand as we are beginning to learn to hear God's voice and respond to what he's saying, we need to know that it's never going to contradict his word. So this last section is so important. This is the crux of everything that we're exploring tonight and everything that we're discovering. What do you do after you hear from God? Okay, so God spoke to me through his word, through the peace of the Holy Spirit, through a dream or a vision, through godly counsel and Christian leadership in my life. What do I do now? Number one, make sure that you understand what God is saying. Make sure that you understand what God is saying. Some examples that we see in God's word, we see Gideon. He was so wanted to make sure that he heard from God, he asked for a sign. In fact, he asked for one twice. He put out the fleece, he said, God, please just show me, help me to know that you are speaking to me. We also see David. I love David in 2 Samuel 5, verse 17 through 25. There's a battle coming up with the Philistines, and he says, God, tell me if you're going to give me victory. He didn't even want to enter the battle unless he knew that God was going to direct them and give him victory. And God said, yes, I will. And when it came time to battle them again, later in that same passage, God tells him, yes, you will, and here's how you will get the victory. And so he was very specific. And so both Gideon and David were so intent to make sure that they understood what it was that God was speaking. Number two, get biblical confirmation. So you've heard something that God's saying, you're making sure that you understand and are clear, then you need to go to God's word and see what his word says about what you feel like he's speaking to you in that moment. Is there a story in the Bible where someone faced a similar situation to what you're facing? What did they do right? What did they do wrong? What were the consequences? So we seek God's word, and maybe God's word doesn't have a specific statement that speaks to your situation, but maybe there's a story in God's word where someone faced something like that. And so we can go to God's word and we can learn from those things that we read in his word. Number three, we need to apply God's counsel, wisdom, and instruction to our lives. Apply God's counsel, wisdom, and instruction to your life. What is the Holy Spirit guiding you to do next? And so this is where you take time to sense what the Holy Spirit is saying in this moment. You feel like God's spoken something to you. What are you feeling like you are supposed to do with it? Is he telling you to wait? Is he telling you to be faithful where you are? Is he telling you to take a step of faith into something you've never done before? Is he telling you to speak to someone about a situation or to confront someone so that a better relationship can be built or strengthened or so that a problem can be solved? What is God telling you to do? And then also we can seek counsel from godly leadership and authority. That's part of that applying God's counsel and wisdom. And so it's important to see where this falls, this seeking that counsel. We've heard from God. We've gone to his word. We've sought to make sure that we know what we're doing with it, I feel like this is what God's telling me to do. And then I'm going to go to someone that I trust, someone that knows me, that knows my walk with the Lord. I'm not just going to drive to some random pastor that I've never even seen before and be like, here's all this stuff. I want to go to someone, a leader that knows me and knows me well, someone that's close to me or a friend that has been with me through a lot of my Christian walk and say, this is what I feel like God's speaking to me and this is what I feel like he's telling me to do. And then I want to see what that counsel speaks into my life, that person that I trust, that leader that I trust, and let them, give them the opportunity to confirm. But I'm not running to them first saying, what do you think I should do? I am doing my best to hear clearly from God what he is speaking to me. And it's so important to learn to exercise that muscle. Number four, we need to obey what the Lord says to do or not to do. Obey what the Lord says to do or not to do. And we need to obey immediately. Not later, not when we feel like it. We need to obey exactly what God's telling us to do, exactly when he's telling us to do it. And if that means wait, that means that we immediately begin to wait patiently and with a good attitude, and we don't continue to wallow in the attitude that we had before. If it's to remain faithful, it means that we're going to go after wherever he has planted us until he tells us to do something different. We're going to obey. And number five, write down what God says, what happened when you obeyed, and put the date next to it. Why should we write down what God speaks to us? To remember so we don't forget? What was that? To build our faith. What did you say, Sergio?
To be reminded of what God did and when he did.
Yeah. To be reminded of what God did and when he did it. See, moments in our lives, guys, that we've had confirmed faith, that we've had our lives aligned with God's will, and we've experienced the benefits of that, when we've experienced God answer our prayers, when we have those moments in our lives, those create fallback points. And what I mean by that is as you're going through this journey that's called life and the Christian walk, we're going to hit some bumps in the road. There are going to be some times that are not as fluid and easy as we would like them to be. And when we have written down and we have remembered these moments where we saw God come through, where we heard him speak, where we knew that he was doing something in our lives, it's a fallback point, and it becomes an anchor that keeps us sturdy, that keeps us firm, that keeps us from wavering. It keeps us on that path that God's called us to be on. And so we need to remind ourselves, just like you guys have said, of what God has spoken, what he's done, what he has revealed in our moments of strength, so that we can stay strong and stay the course in our moments of weakness and in our moments of doubt. I remember a time in my life where I was feeling just a lot of uncertainty about a certain situation. And I was coming before God and I was just saying, God, if I'm out of your will, just let me know. And I want to make a change. I want to be in your will. And I'm just right now, I'm just not 100% certain that I am. And immediately I felt like scenes from a movie. God just began to show me every time that he had spoken to me about that situation, every time I'd felt his presence, every moment that I'd had that was like, that's got to be God, because that couldn't be me. That couldn't be anyone else involved in this. And I just saw them. They just flew before my mind. And I knew that God was saying, you're in the center of my will. Yes, this situation is my will. And look at all the times that I've proved it to you. And so I had all of those moments in that situation that I gathered in that one moment with God. And I was like, I'm standing on this. I'm standing on what I know that you've spoken. And guys, at first, as we begin to practice these things, as we begin to practice understanding, trying to understand, seeking God's word, seeking counsel, trying to obey, trying to write these things down so we can remember, at first, it might be kind of difficult. It might be like we're trying to stretch these muscles and strengthen these muscles we've never really used before. Sometimes you may be like, is it God? Is it not? And I want to encourage you guys to know that it'll take some time. But the more you do it, the more quickly and more clearly you'll be able to hear his voice. You know, I haven't been married for a long, long time, but I've been married for a while. My husband's right there, Jonathan Mendoza. And after, we've been together for 7 years, been married for almost four. And let me tell you guys, when he enters a room or an area, I know that he is there because of the way that his keys jingle. I'm not kidding. I can be in my office here at the church and he can walk in and I'm like, Jonathan just walked into the front office area. I can hear him because something about the way he walks and the way that his keys swing, I know that it's him. No other keys that I've ever heard sound that way. I don't know how this is possible, but it is. I can be in a room full of people and we can be talking or we can be at a party or in a big church event and I can hear his voice and I know that he's in the room or he's somewhere nearby. I didn't know that after week two of dating him. it was after years of getting to know each other, and we've only been together 7. Imagine when we're at 35, like Bonnie and Rob Rome, we're going to know each other even better. And that's how it is in our relationship with God. At first, I think that was you, but I'm not 100% sure. And then eventually, we can tell when he's in the room. We can tell, we know that that was his voice, and we know it so well. And guys, you need to know and understand this. The reason that this is here at this moment is because you're going even deeper and grow too. And it's so vital for you to know the voice of God. Because the trials are going to come. The hard times are going to come, guys. The moments are going to come when the marriage isn't as exciting as it was in the honeymoon phase. When the kids are all over the place and they're not just living the way that you're telling them to live and doing and being obedient. And you just feel like everything's falling apart. The times are going to come when the doctor's report isn't what you hoped it would be. And when the finances aren't where you just need them to be and you don't know how you're going to make ends meet. And when the people around you don't understand why you are doing this thing called Christianity, because all this bad stuff has happened to you ever since you started doing that, ever since you started going to that church. And people aren't going to understand what you have experienced and what you God has called you to do and the steps that he's called you to take. And it's so important that in those moments you know the voice of your Savior. You know the voice of your God. It's so important that we know how to hear his voice, how to stand on what he's spoken to us in the past so that we can continue hearing his voice and moving forward in the future. Can I pray for you guys? God, I just lift up these Grow 2 students. Lord, I thank you for what you've already done in them in these first few weeks, and I thank you that it's just the beginning. You're just getting started. And even Grow 2 is not the summit. You have so much more for them. You have so many more things to do in and through them. And so, God, I just pray that this week, as we go home and as we study what we've learned, and as we begin to apply these things to our lives, as we begin to seek to understand what you're saying, to get biblical confirmation and make sure that your word affirms what we feel we've heard from you, as we seek to apply what you're saying to our lives and to be obedient to you even when it's hard, and God, as we write down, as we take the time to commemorate what you've done, would you help us, God, to become more and more familiar with your voice so that we can hear you clearly and we can recognize your voice quickly as we continue this journey with you. I bless these students in your name, Lord Jesus. Bless their week. Bless them as they learn to hear your voice. Amen.
Okay, I'm going to get you out of here in like 30 seconds. You're right, like 2 minutes. Okay, I just want to go over your homework real quick. As always, we have another memory verse. It is Romans 3:23, and it's so easy. So same as every week, first hand I see next week gets it. So be quick. Next week I'm actually doing like whoever runs up here first gets it. I'm not sure because you guys are pretty quick with the hands. And then you're also going to use your journal, which is in the back of your book. It's Appendix C. You're going to journal, kind of like how Courtney was talking about. You're going to write down your prayer and write down God's answer. And I really love to hear some of those next week, no matter how big or small they are. And then in the beginning next week, we'll go over answers 9 and 10. And then as always, you have your reading, which is John 16 through 20. Okay. Love you guys. Have a good week.